Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN, and joining me now is Christian Fowler, as he does at this time slot every single Tuesday. He's a senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast, On the Bluff, releases every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Do you use your X account, Christian, anymore? Are you sort of anti-social media at this point?
Dude, I've been so done with
it. I'll drop the X handle, but... He hasn't used it very much.
No,
C. Fowler, BCM.
It doesn't. Okay, you got to think. I used to be like 100% everything on my plate.
Yeah, when you're reporting.
Memphis football, journalism, you know, all that. And it was like, I used it all the time. And then with kind of this split life that I live now, it's like, do I really have the time and energy for that? Yeah, it's not.
You say split life like you got something else. You know, a little more risque going on. We gotta love that.
It's not. I promise you, it's not risque, but it is. It is two totally different things. And I'm like, I just don't have the time and energy anymore. This used to be part of the job description, and it's really not anymore. So I probably should be better about it, but I got to the point, really. I guess it was probably 2 years ago when I was just like, I don't care to be on here. I don't. It's just so toxic all the time.
Well, yeah, that's for dang sure, especially since old Musk took over the app.
Yeah, it's just always negativity. So I try to stay. The only social media I really indulge in is like Instagram Reels. I even do like the old like that. Like I'm not a TikTok guy.
You mindlessly scroll the Reels.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. All right, now we had hoops for St. Jude last night, so we can talk some Memphis basketball. 99-75 Arkansas. First half, though, Tigers were
really
up 45-42. They sort of let go of the rope after the first, 10 to 15 minutes. But those first 10 to 15 minutes, that's just about all, you know, Penny and Doug McDaniel and guys after the game were talking about. For the most part. Obviously, Penny said, you know, the last 5 minutes ruined his day. But he said the first 15 is what he expects his team to play like. What did you make of that performance in general? And we'll not just stick to the first 15 minutes. We'll go start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard to draw anything off of these games. And I think, honestly, I think we did a really good job last year of not overreacting or underreacting. Right.
Right.
I mean, Memphis lost both of those games. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a year, but I feel like the North Carolina game was similar to this, right? It was close in the first half, and then North Carolina kind of ran away with it.
They pulled away, but it was Memphis stuck in it a little bit longer,
right.
I think, against North Carolina,
right.
into the second half. And then it was like the last 10 minutes, North Carolina started putting it on them.
Right. So, I mean, we saw that last year, and we saw how the team turned out. It ended up being a really solid team for Memphis, and I think you saw some of the things that you – I mean, Doug McDaniel played well from everything that I've seen and heard. I know Aaron Bradshaw fouled out in the second half, but was playing a decent game until then. And I think really what we take is Arkansas is a really, really good team, a lot of talent. They have Coach Cal obviously running the show, so we know he runs a tight ship. And Memphis kept it really competitive until the end. It doesn't look like that when you look at the 25-point win for Arkansas. But I mean, Memphis kept it close and showed that they could hang at least for the first half. And we got to remember and continue telling ourselves, like, this is another one of those just full-on makeshift as in, like,
it's a complete rebuild year to year.
But, yeah, it's a complete rebuild. It's pulling guys from so many different areas. And they're not there yet. Like, you still got a minute till the season tips off, and they're going to have to work their way into it in the off season. Now, hopefully when the regular season hits, it's boots on the ground and they're ready to roll like it was last year. But with how Penny's done it, I think we have to give him the benefit of the doubt and have confidence in him that he will have them completely ready to go and play, you know, a full game the correct way when the regular season actually starts.
All right, I have two concerns from last night, and I want to see if you share them. One, front court. He started Aaron Bradshaw at the five. I wonder if he's going to stick with that just because it did not look all that great. Of course, you mentioned he fouled out with 10 minutes to go, but they did not rebound well. They got out-rebounded 46-33, and they also gave up 51 points in the paint. To Arkansas. Now, there was a lot of bodies added late. Maybe they're not used to what Penny is you know, telling them to execute at this point, and that's fair. But we're getting close to the season. They have bodies in there. I just don't know which ones are going to be, you know, peaking at the right time as the season gets going, because they're going to have to peak at the beginning of the season. They're going to have to play really well at the beginning of the season if they don't want to, you know, dig themselves a hole in that non-con schedule that features – let's see. I have this written down. The number one team, number 11 team, number 14 team, and then Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Baylor, who are right there on the outside looking at the AP Top 25. So it just feels like you have a lot to figure out in your front court before you face some of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely concerning, but I'll categorize it as concerning but not surprising. Just like you said, so many people added later in the cycle, and it was all in the front court. And, you know, we knew it was going to be an issue when it was only really Aaron Bradshaw that was added, that, you know, fans and media members, we all were like, okay, that's a good piece to add to the front court. Everybody else was like, who is this? Who is this? Like, where did they come from? Where did Penny end up finding this player that he's putting in the front court? So I think the expectation was for the front court to be the most behind everything else. And I think even if it does get to a point where it's all flowing and Penny's got the lineup figured out and the rotation figured out in the front court, it's still going to lag behind the guard play just because the guards are better on this team than the front court. But I definitely didn't expect them to roll out there in this exhibition game and everything be settled in the front court and them know exactly how they're going to play guys, how they're going to involve Aaron Bradshaw. Was it going to be at the four or the five, and how did they supplement that next to him? And I mean, him, I think he had four rebounds in that game, so definitely not a good look. He's definitely going to have to be more aggressive and more effective on the glass. But yeah, it's not surprising. I think it's just going to take time, and we'll see. I mean, the final product could be a lot better than this, or it could be an issue all season where when Memphis plays a team with a good front court, it shows up and they score 40-plus points in the paint like we saw in this game with 51 from Arkansas. So it's a concern, not a surprise, but we just kind of have to see how it develops once the season starts.
Now, offensive creation is another thing I'm concerned about. Doug McDaniel definitely can do that. Like, he, I thought he was phenomenal last night. 19 points, 5 for 11 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3. 6 assists to only 3 turnovers. So he seems to be the head of the snake. But outside of him, like, who else is creating? I saw Curtis Givens try to create, but he was 2 for 12 from the field, 1 for 6 from 3. I think a lot of the things that LSU, with his inefficiencies, sort of showed up in this exhibition. Not saying that's going to hold going into the regular season, but that's something I'm paying attention to. And we don't have, like, a nice, you know, data sample where he is an efficient player. I mean, there were certain games last year, I guess, but more often than not, he was an inefficient player. and he's still young. So, like, outside of Doug, that was something that stuck out. Didn't feel like there was a lot of offensive creation. And we know that last year it felt like they had a bunch of that with Tyrese Hunter and definitely with P.J. Haggerty.
Yeah, it felt like, at least for last night, and once again, this is all preliminary. We'll see what shakes out. But it felt more like the Kendrick Davis, what was that, 2022 team than it did last year. Like you said, with Tyrese and P.J. Haggerty, it felt like they had plenty of shot creation between those two. And it didn't matter who was bringing the ball up the floor. It didn't matter who was taking the shot, that they would be able to find the good shot. I think you know you have that with Doug McDaniel. Showed it last night. He's shown it throughout his collegiate career. And it looks to be, like you said, head of the snake. Like, we know what Penny's doing. Kendrick Davis, P.J. Haggerty, all these guys. Like, Penny wants to be a guard-driven team, and Doug looks like the next guy for Penny. But is there anything supplemental, or is this completely going to be an offensive season where it's Memphis goes offensively where Doug McDaniel goes? If he doesn't have a great night, where does the rest of the shot creation, where does the rest of the scoring come from? And we saw difficulties with that when it was Kendrick Davis. Not that he had many off games, but he had the injury with the ankle. And when he wasn't 100% or not playing, the offense looked pretty rough. Is it going to be the same with Doug? Are they going to have someone else step up that can do that and give Memphis a second creator where it looks more like last year with PJ and Tyrese? And of course, we don't know. It's a wait and see game, but at least for one exhibition game, it is a little bit concerning because it is so difficult when you put everything on one player's shoulders. And we talked about it a ton last year. Anytime PJ had an off game, it felt like Tyrese picked it up. Anytime Tyrese had an off game, it felt like PJ picked it up. It felt like they played so well together. Can Memphis find someone else, another guard or a three that can step up and create shots and take some of that pressure off of Doug McDaniel's shoulders if he's not having the best game?
All right. Now, you mentioned Arkansas is a good team. There's a reason they're 14th in the AP preseason top 25. But it was kind of funny last night to see it wasn't the holdovers they had from last year. It was the freshmen that really shined. Darius Acuff Jr., Malik Thomas. Malik Thomas had 23 points. Darius Acuff, 17 points. Now, he was he put up a bunch of shots. He was 6 for 16. But you just look at what Cal has built there at Arkansas in year two. I mean, if he gets that type of performance from freshmen every once in a while, if not sort of every game, you know, that team could be very, very good. That was a team who made a run last year. It was sort of the Cinderella, if you even want to call them that, in the NCAA tournament a year ago. But those freshmen, to add on top of what they already have, Carter Knox, DJ Wagner, Billy Richmond, you know, they just go up and down their roster, they could be very dangerous.
Yeah, they could be one of the elite teams in the country, no doubt about it. I mean, you mentioned the guys that they're bringing back in DJ Wagner and Billy Richmond. Like, they already have a good core. And if this is what we can expect from their freshmen that they've brought in, they're going to be an extremely dangerous team. And you said last year, like, they were up and down throughout the regular season, but towards the end of the year, they really figured it out. It's like Cal kind of hit his groove with the players that he had, understanding what he needed to do and how to push all the right buttons. And like going into year two at a new school with him, handpicking his freshmen that he's brought in and are already impressing, it just feels like they can be one of those teams that, when we look up in a couple months, it's like, why were they preseason 14? Like, they should have been a preseason top 6 or 7 team. They have that level of play and coaching. I mean, the thing is, it really doesn't matter where Cal's at. If he's at Memphis, Kentucky, Arkansas, who cares? He's probably going to put a really good product out on the floor and have a really good team and a really deep and talented roster. And it looks like they have it again, which at least for this game is a good thing for Memphis, because it shows that they went up against, like I said, what I believe is a really elite team, and they hung in there for most of it. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye on Arkansas. I know most Memphis fans will too, just because of the Cal connection. I think if this would have happened 7 or 8 years ago, it would have been a little bit more contentious, but it felt pretty respectful from everything
it looked awesome. I mean, Cal got a standing ovation. I mean, it looked great in there. And honestly, the crowd looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it was 9,500.
Yeah, it looked like you had some Arkansas fans sort of creeping in there as well.
Yeah. No, it's a cool thing, and I think you said it last night on the podcast. Like, this is kind of they're kind of doing these test runs to see if it becomes an actual in season tournament, and at least for the 2 years that they've done it, it seems to be a really great idea, a really cool event, and obviously it all benefits one of the best causes you can put anything towards.
Absolutely, 100%. We support St. Jude. You know, parents never pay a bill, which is still just an insane thing to me. But if it becomes an in-season tournament, that's a massive thing for the University of Memphis.
100%.
To be the host team, in all likelihood, if St. Jude's able to get this across the finish line.
Yeah, no, it's monstrous. Just because with college basketball, it's unlike the NBA regular season. A lot of people check out for college basketball. Most people are pretty checked in once you start getting to those in-season tournaments, which start happening around Thanksgiving, like the bigger ones. And to have one in Memphis when basketball is so ingrained in the culture here, and what the University of Memphis basketball team means to the city and everything, it'd be really cool. And I feel like anytime there's a big event in Memphis, whether it's, you know, like, we bring it up all the time, but like College Game Day coming or any big event, it feels like Memphis always really shows out for, and it just ends up being a lot of fun. Even the NCAA tournament games that have come to Memphis, it's felt like a great environment. So it would be really cool for the city. And I know there would be a great turnout for it. It would just be a really cool thing if it does become a long-running in-season tournament.
Now, with respect to basketball season coming up, it is still football season. It's just still in the heart of football season. And Tiger football sits there at 7-1 with a win over South Florida. We know that Saturday could have been sort of the final nail in the coffin to their college football playoff hopes, to their American Conference championship hopes, but they were able to pull it out 34-31. What did you see? What did you take away from that win that Memphis got on their home field?
Yeah, I think coming into this game, this could have been the lowest of the lows, right? You rewind 2 weeks ago, we're talking about College Game Day, ranked versus ranked, then the loss to UAB. And can you imagine if you lose to UAB and then you turn around and you lose a heartbreaker to South Florida, and then, like you said, the nail in the coffin, the death knell, like it's over with. It's done. There's no more playoffs on the table. Probably no American championship on the table. It just would have put such a stain on what started out as such an incredible season with, you know, being undefeated, the win over Arkansas, the excitement feel like it's coming back into the program. And you got to give so much credit to Ryan Silverfield and to the coaching staff and the players for just not blinking. That's one of those moments where you're in deep adversity, in deep waters, and it really is. I said it last night. It sounds kind of cliche in coach speak, but it's like, how do you respond when adversity hits? Like, how do you respond when something goes just about as bad as it possibly could have? You lose to one of the worst teams in the country. Your starting quarterback gets hurt and there's questions about whether he'll be back or not. And it just starts turning so negative so quickly. And then you start that game out 21-7 and everybody's kind of looking around. The air was taken out of the stadium. You look on social media, it's all negative. It's, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. What could have been this season? And give Brendan Lewis all the credit.
All the credit in the world.
They put this game on his right arm and said, look, we're trailing. The running game isn't really working anyway. Greg DeRozier, Sutton Smith can't really get anything going. We know you're hurt. We know you're coming off injury, but we need this game, and it's going to come down to you. And he responded in such a massive way, 307 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, was effective on the ground, especially in the second half. Like, he played a brilliant game, especially for a quarterback that we said in the offseason, all he's got to do, manage the game, get them in good-to-go situations, as far as short yardage second and third downs. Just keep the chains moving. Keep handing the ball to Sutton and Greg and make plays with his arm when he needs to. But every game's not the same. Every game's not perfect. You can't run the ball 40 times for 250 yards every game. Sometimes game script's going to demand a lot of throws, and that's what this game did. And he just showed up and delivered for someone who, you pointed this out to me yesterday, had never thrown for 300 yards in a game.
First one ever, and this is his sixth year, right, or fifth year.
Yeah, first ever 300-yard passing game, and it could not have come in a bigger game, in a bigger moment, in a bigger time of need for Memphis. He was spreading the ball all over the field. He was accurate. He was decisive. He knew when to take off. He knew when to extend plays and keep his eyes downfield. I mean, it really was nearly a flawless game, especially in that second half from him. And it was going to take a lot. He delivered, and then you also have to give credit to the defense. They didn't play great in this game. They allowed some long rushing touchdowns in this game. But when Memphis needed a couple of stops to be able to gain some momentum and gain a lead and ultimately win the game, the defense, kind of like they have all year. It's been an up and down unit. It's been a bend but don't break unit. But when they need a stop or they need to force a turnover or they need to give the offense a little bit of momentum, more often than not, they responded. And they did it again in this game and turned it back over to Brendan Lewis. And he did exactly what he needed to do. And then South Florida, boneheaded mistake, gets a 10-yard penalty and kind of off to the
left. And, you know, the missed field goal, I know that there's a lot of differences between what I'm about to bring up and, you know, the previous time that this happened. But a missed field goal to keep the season alive is something that I think most Tiger fans that have been around since at least 2019 are familiar with.
Yeah, no, it was a recipe for success in 2019, and it was very different. 27-yard field goal is a lot different than what
and Tulsa versus this South Florida team, completely different.
Yeah, correct. This South Florida team, a lot different than that Tulsa team that Memphis was close to losing to. But you think about football as a whole, and, you know, some people are like, oh, you get so romantic about the game. It's so hard not to get romantic about it. It's so hard not to, you know, draw lines to past seasons and past happenings. But, like, I vividly remember that game. It was right before Halloween, much like this game. I think it actually might have been on Halloween, if I remember correctly. Nothing was going right for Memphis. They end up turning it around. Tulsa drives down, has an opportunity to win the game on the field goal, and just shanks the crap out of it. In this game, you're looking at, unfortunately, a Gramatica.
Yeah, like, right.
Oh, my gosh. Like, right. He's been one of the best kickers in college football this year, and he's a good long-distance kicker as well. And you're looking at it at 45-yarder. He's going to pure this. We're going to go to overtime, and then what's going to happen? And you get a penalty and you go, okay, 55, that's a little bit more challenging, especially given the pressure of the situation on the road against one of the best teams in the conference. How is he going to handle it? Fortunately for Memphis, he misses it, and you go, okay, the ball is back in your court. You're back in the driver's seat, and you've righted the ship. After a week when everything went horribly wrong, you right the ship and you put yourself back in this position. Like, I know it sucks. I know we'll look back on it all year and go, dang, they could have won that UAB game. They should have won that UAB game, and they didn't.
Right.
But to be in the position they're in right now, to have, if you would have told Memphis fans at this point in the season, you have one loss, 100% of Memphis fans are taking one loss at this point.
100%.
They would have said, yeah, it would have been against Arkansas, South Florida.
Right.
They wouldn't have against UAB.
Right.
But here we are.
You know, but hey,
in the driver's seat.
Spin zone to that. I brought it up on the podcast last night. You know, you talked to that Ohio State team from last year that won the national title. Most of them don't think they get there and have the run they did, the four-game run they did in the college football playoff without that loss to Michigan at the end of the year. So, like, I despise the fact that they lost to UAB. Let the bone stay there in Birmingham. But at the same time, like, you have this shining, large, loud example of what not to do and what not to let happen for the rest of the year.
Yeah, sometimes you have to get humbled as a football team to kind of reach your max potential. Because if you don't feel like you're being pushed or challenged and you feel like you can just roll it out there against anyone in the country and win a game, eventually that's going to come back to bite you. And I mean, it is the old age adage. We say it all the time, like, would you rather lose now or in the conference championship game? And of course, you know, we can't predict what's going to happen for the rest of the season, but you would absolutely rather lose to UAB than lose in the conference championship. And if that's what woke the team up
right.
to make them realize, hey, look, we're a really good football team and we have the opportunity to do special things this year. We can go to an American championship, win an American championship, potentially go to a college football playoff. Like, all those things are very much on the table, but we cannot lose sight of anyone. It doesn't matter who it is, because UAB showed us that we can lose to a bad team if we don't show up. And so we'll see what happens throughout the remainder of the season, but that's absolutely one of those things that can be the turning point where you look back and say something crazy, something special happens this season, and you hear players talk about it and say, that was the moment when we realized we have so much potential, but it really is the super cliche 1-0 every week. Like, it doesn't matter what you did the week before. It doesn't matter what your record is. You can lose to anybody. So you have to come in prepared, handle business, and then you move on to the next week. You can't look forward to, hey, we got South Florida next week. Game day could be coming. It could be a top, a matchup of two top 20 teams. You can't do all that. You got to stay focused. You got to stay locked in. And especially with, not great teams still on the schedule, and then matchups against Tulane and Navy, like, you can't. You have to go week by week. You can't look ahead to, well, if we win this game and win that game, this is where we'll be ranked, and we'll be the favorite to go to the college football playoff out of the group of five school. You can't do all that. You just got to go out there and win football games.
Now, I know that there's going to be a reaction to this when I bring this up. Because, listen, the UAB game, the UTSA game last year, it shows the other side of what I'm about to bring up. But Ryan Silverfield, kind of a big game coach, no?
Yeah.
I mean, he's Memphis under Ryan. They've won their last five games that they've entered as an underdog. Iowa State in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, Florida State, Tulane, Arkansas, and South Florida. So, yeah. We talked about this after the UAB loss. They always get up and have a chance to win against the big teams. You just worry about, Sarah Rice this Friday. Those are the games that you worry about. But Ryan has proved to be, in these big moments against big competition, to be a big game coach, weirdly enough.
Yeah, there is no doubt about it. I know people want to take things and take credit away from Ryan and talk about him losing to inferior opponents and all of that, but he really does have his team so ready to go when it's a Power Four opponent or a ranked matchup, or, like you said, a game where they're an underdog in. They are always ready to go. He hasn't lost to a Power Four school as the head coach at Memphis.
No.
I don't believe so. I mean, there's Mississippi State, West Virginia, Arkansas. I mean, he's beat a lot of Power Four schools at Memphis in his time. So he always has them ready to go for these games. And like I said, now it's just take care of business. Memphis is going to be, going to be favored in every game from here on out. I haven't checked FPI, but I would imagine it's going to be tighter against Tulane and Navy, but with both of those games being at the Sim, it should be Memphis favored in those. So you're going to be favored the rest of the year. You're not going to have the target on the back. So you just got to keep being prepared, keep being ready. I'm right there with you. He's done a great job. I heard a clip of him earlier this week talking about, what he did in the offseason and talking to Dan Lanning. And you love to hear your coach talk about things like that.
Right.
Because I feel like there are so many coaches and people in so many different jobs across the country that are, too proud or have too much ego.
Too arrogant.
To help. Yeah, too arrogant. And I think he might have said that in the clip where he was talking about it. But it's so good and it's so true. Like, no one knows everything. And you might want to think that you're the smartest person in the room or you know more than anybody in the room. But for Ryan to have the humility to say, look, I think we have this thing going in the right direction. But I have a pretty good connection to Dan Lanning. They coached together under Mike Norvell. And he's really had things rolling in Oregon. So why don't I go check out what he's got going on at one of these big Power Four schools and see what we can implement at Memphis to make us as good as possible. And I don't know if you caught this in the clip. I'm sure you did if you saw it. But Dan Lanning did the same. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about Dan Lanning also, that he was willing to say, you know, look, I know I'm at Oregon, one of the biggest schools in the country, and I know Ryan is at Memphis, which is a non-Power 4 school, but same thing. He's running a really good ship over there. What can I improve on also? So I think that was just a cool clip yep. and a cool interaction between two guys that clearly have respect for each other, know each other, coach together at Memphis, and were both, you know, kind of humble enough to say, what do you see from your eyes, from another head coach's eyes, what can I do to improve and grow? So things like that about Ryan, I love. It shows that, you know, he's willing to learn, he's willing to grow. We've seen that throughout his time in Memphis, just from what the teams look like early in his tenure as a first-time head coach to what they look like now.
Yep. Now, final thing, and we have to be quick here. Only have about 2 minutes left. But LSU has fired Brian Kelly, and it felt like it was time. 49-25 on your home field to A&M. Just weren't competitive in that second half. I think it was time. And it just never seemed like a good fit, even though when they hired him, he was the active wins leader in college football among coaches. So it just didn't work out. Now, my question to you before I let you roll is, where do you think LSU turns now? Like, what direction should they go in finding their next head coach?
I have no idea. Like, I just to be honest, like, I look around at all these coaching vacancies. I have no clue where you go. I've heard a lot of people feel like the trendy thing to say right now is Joe Brady, who's the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, but won that 2019 national championship with LSU as their OC under Coach O. I don't know if they would do that, and I don't know if Joe Brady would leave the NFL to go back down to college as a head coach with how difficult that is these days. I think he's a great offensive mind. I've always been a big fan of Joe Brady, even when he was the fall guy for Matt Rhule for the Carolina Panthers. But I think it would be a good fit. He's been there. He knows the people. He knows the area. But that's really the only one that I look at right now and go, yeah, that makes sense, because I think more so at LSU than any other school, the coach has to be a fit for the state and the city.
Yep. You just look around at the coaches that have come up in these conversations, and a lot of them are either in a very comfortable position, right? Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, or they're at their alma mater. Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State, Jeff Brohm at Louisville. Clark Lee at Vandy. So it's a weird time, but it's going to be a very active coaching carousel. We have a bunch of openings. And what I would say to LSU is, like, you know, you don't necessarily have to go after the $11 million per year coach. You don't necessarily have to, you know, find a guy that's going to get your fan base excited, because I'm sure that Brian Kelly, to a certain extent, was that guy. He was the active wins leader in college football when he took over. So, I would just, you know, I look around the country, I see guys like Brent Key at Georgia Tech, Kurt Cignetti at Indiana, John Sumrall at Tulane, Mike Elko at A&M, and I just say, you know, those programs decided this time around, hey, let me just go get a ball coach.
Yeah.
Let me go get a guy who can instill a culture in my team, and it's worked out for them.
Yeah, and I think John Sumrall is another name. I hadn't heard as much, but it does make sense because he's done a great job at Tulane. I have never heard anyone say a bad word about John Sumrall. He seems like an awesome coach to play for and to coach under, and like I said, he's already in the state at Tulane. But when it comes to Brian Kelly, quickly, because I know we need to get off, I think what you're seeing from all of his former players tells you all you need to know 100%. About Brian Kelly. I've seen 10 to 15 guys.
I haven't seen a positive tweet out there yet about the guy.
Not one.
It's all about arrogance and how he turns his back on players that are injured. And
yeah.
I mean, honestly, these are things we kind of knew before we got hired at LSU.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I think it's been nothing but negativity surrounding him. And I heard Zach Martin talking about him, and he couldn't even find a good word to say about Brian Kelly, who he played for at Notre Dame.
Saw success under, by the way, too. Right?
Yeah. The only good thing Zach Martin could find to say about Brian Kelly is he's good at managing a football program as a head coach.
That's not glowing. That's not what we'd call a glowing review.
Not at all.
Yeah, but it felt like it was time. But, Christian, our time has come up. I'll let you roll, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Yes, sir. See y'all back next week.
Yes, sir. He is Christian Fowler at CFowlerBCM on X, senior writer and content creator for Bluff City Media. Check out our podcast, On the Bluff, releases every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Now, we need to go ahead and transition.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Into the Blitz, that is next right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe. Kendrick Perkins says he doesn't F with Ja Morant on the Out the Mud podcast, which is T.A. and Zeebo's podcast. Here's what he had to say. You F up, not only do that make you look bad, that made me look bad. Yes, because that matters, Kendrick Perkins. They recognize you because of me speaking highly of you. Don't think that's true. It ain't no coincidence you went from having three games on ESPN to 52. I didn't realize you had that sort of power.
Also, it wasn't a coincidence. Well, I'll get to it.
Yeah,
it wasn't a coincidence, but it's not what you think.
So Ja responded to Kendrick Perkins' nonsense and said, you the reason for my notoriety, Perk? Come on, dog. You showing him why I am F with you. With your kind.
Yeah. Kendrick, what in the hell are you talking about? Like, I call this the Stephen A. Smithification of sports media.
It's so ridiculous.
Where these guys seem to think they have more pull and power than the guys playing the game. Now, let's just go through his quote on the Out the Mud podcast again. You F up. Not only did that make you look bad, that made me look bad. Brother, you don't need any help with looking bad. We watch you on NBA Today and on the pregame show for ESPN. Well, not anymore because they have Inside the NBA. They do a better job. But you don't need much help looking bad, Perk. You do it all by yourself, man. But okay, we'll move on from that. They recognized you because of me speaking highly of you. Are you out of your... What is wrong with you? Are you out of your mind? So Ja Morant putting up 26 points per game, 8 assists per night, getting to an all-star game, you know, being one of the most prolific playmakers in the NBA. That didn't get him noticed by ESPN. You were the one who got Ja in the good graces of ESPN. Give me a damn break. Like, what world do you live in? That's insane.
Ja is arguably the most exciting player in the league.
Go look at TikTok and basketball highlights. Go look at Instagram reels. He's all over them for plays he makes. He had 2 360 layups in one game, and that got like 15 billion hits. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how he feels this way. Like, that's a level of arrogance and self-belief that, you know, I would usually say I aspire to, but I don't aspire to that. I mean, it's ridiculous. It ain't no coincidence you went from having 3 games on ESPN to 52. First of all, 152. Okay, I know you were exaggerating. But, yeah, it isn't a coincidence.
Perk may have thought it was 52.
But either way, it isn't a coincidence because Ja's that good of a player and that bright of a shining star and that international of a star, that type of celebrity. There wasn't a coincidence. But it wasn't you doing all of the things behind the scenes for ESPN to pick up Ja Morant and Grizzlies games. Ja Morant did that by his lonesome with how good he was and how good his team was because of his play. And also, like, okay, what else do you want to take credit for? Do you want to take credit for how big of a celebrity he is globally? Do you want to take credit for Nike and his deal there? Like, what else? While we're here, just take credit for everything that Ja's ever accomplished. Don't stop at ESPN and the amount of games they picked up. Just take credit for everything Ja's done at this point.
The Ja's were actually Perk's idea.
Yeah, right. I actually came up with a design.
Yes.
Yeah. It's just...
It's nonsense.
It's foolishness.
It's nonsense.
And again, getting back to like the crux of this conversation, I've talked about it for some years now. I don't think sports media is in the most healthy space.
No.
Truthfully. I think that Stephen A. Smith has done irreparable damage to some of the personalities that are there at ESPN and otherwise. They think they have this thought in their head. And this is not everybody, but this is certain people at that network. They think that they are bigger and have more influence than people playing the actual games. I watched Stephen A. Smith walk into arenas with glasses on and a pregame fit like he's about to go out there and drop 50. And it's I just can't, and never mind the fact that he's playing solitaire, you know, at a playoff game. Like I can't understand it. It's gone too far, and I think we need to call these things out as they come along. These players deserve their respect. They earn their respect, and no one else should be taking credit for it.
I don't understand why Kendrick Perkins is upset. He is pretending as if he discovered Ja Morant and was a scout.
Ja was the number two pick.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. He's acting like that Ja was like a second round pick. Listen, Murray State was a smaller school. I get it, but he was
a
second pick.
We watched him drop a triple-double in the NCAA tournament.
He had one of the most electrifying NCAA tournament games we've ever seen. Of course he was the number two pick. I was in a bar with Parker Fleming and my good buddy.
I do love, though, watching T.A. and Z-Bo's reaction.
Yes.
We're like, big Perk.
Yeah.
I don't know if that one's it.
No, yeah, they're like,
I don't know if you're right on that one, man. No, I think you're out of your mind.
It's like when was it Rashad McCants? I can't remember who it was like, I could drop 50. And T.A. was like, that's going to be it for out the podcast. Yeah, that's basically what they did to Perk. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? I was in a bar with Parker Fleming. I mean, when that lottery ball fell to the Grizzlies, everybody lost their mind.
Pandemonium.
It's not like it was some surprise that Ja Morant is awesome. He was a number two pick. We knew he was going to be this awesome. And Perkins is, you know what he's acting like? He's acting like some band's original fan that started out in garages, and then they make it to the FedEx Forum, and they're playing the Forum, and they didn't give him backstage passes. He's like, oh, I was there when it started. It's like, shut up. Perkins, you have nothing to do with John Morant's success.
Perk,
nothing.
We were all there when it started.
Are you
for
insane?
John Morant. We were all there because he was must-see TV when he was at Murray State. Like, just bonkers that this is how he feels toward Ja Morant and about himself, just quote-unquote discovering Ja Morant. It's insane.
How was he looking at something about Ja Morant and making it about himself?
The Stephen A. Smithification of sports media.
Insane.
That's why. Next thing.
The Dodgers took a 2-1 lead in the World Series in a, wait for it, 18-inning game capped off by a Freddie Freeman walk-off home run.
unbelievable game. I would be lying to you if I said I stayed up for the whole thing.
Nope.
I caught the highlights from about inning 13 to 18, okay? Yeah. I was not staying up for that.
I think the 12th was when I was like, I'm good.
It ended at 1:50 our time. I'm not staying up for that. I'm sorry.
Pass.
I can't do that. I have to get up with my son in the morning at 7 a.m. when he wakes up. I don't want to be that tired having to deal with my crawling, you know, son getting into everything at this point. But that's beside the point. Awesome, awesome game. Freddie Freeman walk-off home run, poetic in itself. I thought that was
again.
Very cool for him yet again. Shohei Ohtani, though, is the story. He reached base 9 times last night. 9 times. I have some Yankees hate for you. In 5 games last year, you know how many times Aaron Judge reached base? 9 times in 5 games. Shohei did that in game 3, and now he's pitching tonight. And he went 4-for-4, 2 bombs, 2 doubles, 3 RBIs, and 5 walks. John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, is very clear about his intentions the rest of the series. We're not pitching to him.
No.
But I will say this. You got to be careful. There's a catch when you don't pitch to Shohei Ohtani. Intentionally walking him gets you 8-time All-Star, MVP, future Hall of Famer Mookie Betts, followed by 9-time All-Star, MVP, future Hall of Famer Freddie Freeman. So, I mean, like, it's just a pick-your-poison thing with the Dodgers. But we knew this going into the season. We knew this going into the playoffs. They spent a whole ton of money on this roster. They have the best players, the best talent, and it just is what it is. But I also have this. He's the first player in MLB history with 3 multi-homer games in a single postseason. There's that. He's also right behind Babe Ruth when it comes to multi-home run games in a playoff game. Dave Ruth had 4. He has 3.
Oh, well, that's
in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Very short period of time.
Because he definitely wasn't in the playoffs
also,
with that dumbass Angels team.
Players with 4-plus extra base hits in a World Series game. Shohei Ohtani did that last night. Last time that was done, Frank Isbell, and wait for it, 1906.
Oh, my God. Lord.
110 years ago is the last time we got to witness what we did last night. And I don't think there's anybody around that got to witness that last one with Frank Isbell. And again, he's pitching tonight. I mean, this is unbelievable. Really fun to follow. But Shohei Ohtani, not saying anything out of bounds here. Absolute freak show. Unbelievable. At the sport of baseball.
He's insane. Do you think that Freddie Freeman's veneers blind the pitcher late?
Yeah, I think so.
Late?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think the Dodgers, when they know that
they're
it's getting
oversized.
Too late, they change the light just a little bit so that they can shine off
what's
of the
What's he
teeth?
Got, a $300 million contract?
Something like that.
I figured he could make the veneers.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Look a little more realistic. I mean, it's almost Rex Ryan level.
I mean, almost all veneers look bad.
Almost. Some of them can look fine.
This is going to be a deep cut for millennials out there, but Inspector Gadget, the clone of Inspector Gadget from the 90s movie, those veneers, that's what every single human being that has veneers, that's what I see.
That's what you see.
That's what I see.
You immediately notice it.
Yeah, immediately.
Yeah. They don't look
that
natural.
He looks like Attack on Titan.
There also is a way to make it look more natural, I thought.
Don't get them. Well, you know what looks natural? Your natural teeth.
Well.
Just get them fixed up.
Well, your teeth.
Just get them fixed up.
Some people's teeth are a little too far gone.
That's true.
So there's that. Not a lot of maintenance. Not a lot of taking care of.
I feel like Freddie Freeman.
What you need to do is go see Mady Sadeghi at the Smile Center.
Yes, you do.
That's what you need
to do. Go see our guy, Mady Sadeghi.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and grab a break on that note. When we come back, we'll rewind right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.